Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're all doing well on this Wednesday. Thanks for your patience. I wasn't here yesterday, but I saw a bunch of you on happy hour. Thanks so much for stopping by and chatting with Packers fans. A prevailing theme in last night's happy hour was, yeah, it's kind of dead, isn't it? It's a dead period. There's not a whole lot going on news-wise. Obviously, the Packers continue to prepare for the draft, and that is something you have plenty of content here on the channel to dive into when it comes to the draft, so I'm not going to belabor that too much. You guys know we still got 2 weeks to go, for God's sakes. Plenty of time to talk about all that, but because we do have all this time, that does allow the mind to wander, and it does allow me to think about things probably I wouldn't otherwise talk about. Such as this ongoing, I'm not even going to call it issue. It's not a problem. It's like the world's not going to stop if this doesn't occur. It's not a major issue at all. But it is kind of bugging me suddenly, and I can't really put my finger on why. Again, it's not that big a deal. However, where's Jonathan Gannon? The Packers reportedly agreed to terms with Gannon 70 days ago. 7-0. Okay, fine. The Packers like to dot their I's, cross their T's, have that contract done. It doesn't have to give a physical, so we don't have to worry about that. But, okay, he was announced, right? He was announced as their defensive coordinator sometime after that. Still, no press conference, no availabilities. Nothing, right? Left to pick through the few utterings from Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur regarding his defensive philosophy, the type of scheme he might run, things of that nature. And again, the world keeps spinning. We'll all find out all about this once training camp gets here. We'll get looks in on what they are looking like as far as formations, what they're practicing, situational stuff. All of that will occur. I get it. But, you know, this is the Green Bay Packers. We're supposed to be the gold standard here. We're supposed to be the publicly owned team. You guys are shareholders, right? I know I am. Well, you know, as a shareholder, I'm wondering, can we hear from the defensive coordinator that we supposedly hired? I mean, maybe it was all an elaborate prank. Maybe they haven't hired anybody. Maybe they're going to do coordination by committee on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks won a Super Bowl, lost their offensive coordinator to a head coaching position. Oh, hey, that's something. The Packers had a defensive coordinator leave for a head coaching position. Won the Super Bowl, lost their head coach, their offensive coordinator to a head coaching position, and had a press conference for his replacement all before the Packers even came close to making Jonathan Gannon available, which, by the way, still has not occurred. Like, the Seahawks did that like in a week. I'm not one to complain, but again, we got this long ass time before the draft. There ain't really nothing else to talk about. So I got nits to pick with you people over there at 1265. Come on, throw us a bone. I want to hear from Jonathan Gannon. And I understand the fans and the people who will say it doesn't matter. You're just a whiny media person wanting to get some quotes that you can build content around. And yeah, guilty as charged. I understand. But I do think there are some questions that could be asked of the man. I think number one, hey, did you learn anything after punching one of your players on the sideline of an NFL game after he made a, admittedly, monstrous mistake? But these aren't, you know, inconsequential things. That's a pretty significant question that I think should be asked at some point. I'm just old man Nagler yelling at the clouds over here. I understand that. I get that 99.6% of you could give a shit. But I do give a shit, and I got a microphone. So that's where I'm at today. Again, just blame the NFL. If they were drafting tonight or tomorrow night, we wouldn't have to worry about any of this nonsense. But I got time to sit here and stew and think about things like, where the hell is Jonathan Gannon? that's where I'm at today. That's just how I'm hanging out here on a Wednesday afternoon. I hope you guys are in a better, less annoyed mood than I am. And hopefully, you know, your comments and questions will drive us along away from such nonsense. But yeah, just had to get that all off my chest. Hope you're all doing well. So seems like you are. Lots of folks mixing it up in the comment section. Before we get going, let me make sure we're all gas and no break here. Yeah, there we go. And before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care proudly supports the community and Cheesehead TV. You got a passion for football that never quits. And because you put your heart into everything, the experts at ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care put everything into yours. Stay game day ready with a nationally recognized heart care right here at home. Do it, folks. What's going on? Hello, everybody. Chiming in. E4 starting us off. What's going on, man? Draft and special team needs and ankles. Thoughts? All-time great Packer legend, Lucas Haversick. Wow. What a pull. Special team needs. They have them. I do think it is encouraging looking at the addition of Benjamin St. Juste. We've talked a lot about his probable competition there opposite Nixon on the defensive side of the ball. But I do think that's a guy who's played a lot of special teams and will undoubtedly help the Packers in that regard. But there's always special team needs. No question about it. Now, oftentimes, yeah, you're later in the draft, you get down to, you know, fifth, sixth round, you're probably going to start finding some guys that can help you in that regard. And that's what we keep talking about as far as the Packers in need of cheap labor here these next couple drafts. I think that's one of the reasons you'll probably see them continue to, you know, maybe try and stockpile those picks in 2027 with the compensatory formula. Perhaps this year, maybe trade one or two for that reason, trade down to collect picks, etc. But yeah, special teams always got to be bolstering. Jeff Jones, what's going on, man? NFL dead zone. I want to talk about special teams. Get it? Because the Packers are often killed on special teams. I'm kidding. I'm just drawing a line here. I'm just connecting two dots. Oh, J-Rock, I get it. Is Gannon part of making this team tougher? I mean, because he punched a player? I doubt it. I don't think that's the idea you want to instill. But maybe with his acumen on the defensive side of the ball as a play caller and designer, perhaps there's something there. But I certainly don't think it's because he lost his mind on the sideline as a coach for a second. I just need some sleep. What's up? Maybe Gannon is just the coordinator we made along the way. Maybe. You know, I just think at some point, I just need confirmation that he's not a, you know, collective hallucination. Yeah, we need some mic time from young Mr. Gannon. Chuck Olson, there you go. Well played. The Seahawks have a for sale sign in front. They have to make it go good for buyers. Touche, man. Touche. They certainly are for sale. No doubt about it. And a nice Super Bowl championship to add to the mantelpiece certainly makes it increasingly attractive. No doubt about it. What is up, Gary Bishop? I get it. I'm still stewing over the last regular season loss, let alone the loss to the Bears, but I'm just a fan who spends money on this franchise. Who am I? Just a cog in the wheel, man. Wait, you're still stewing over the last regular season loss? You mean in Minnesota? Man, that was a preseason game. I wouldn't let that keep you up nights. Maybe you're upset about the approach, the fact that they rested so many people in service of a playoff game because they were trying to get healthy, and then they go to that playoff game, have a 21-3 lead, and totally blow it. So if you're talking like that, then yeah, I get it. I understand that tie, that through line there. But yeah, no, the Minnesota game was nothing. Like I said, it was an exhibition. I mean, it was almost all backups exclusively on Green Bay's side of the ball. So yeah, I don't think I don't lose much sleep over that one, but playoff game, that's a little different. Definitely. Menace, I'm glad you brought this up, man. You think Sullivan told Malik and Jeff prior to them coming, hey, guys, about this year and next year and maybe the year after. You don't mind losing, right? Nice weather, lots of money. That's cool. I understand that you are referencing his interview with, let's talk football or talk football or whatever. I'm forgetting the man, young man's name now. And I'm really, really upset because I like him. I like his work. He's with Omaha Productions. However, I saw John Eric Sullivan's interview and he talked about the trade of Jaylen Waddle to the Broncos. And he was very, open and honest about the fact that, this is a receiver that's really in his prime, entering his prime, and in his prime, a very excellent player who wants a monster contract. And, Sullivan was honest about, look, we're going to get capital from him in the draft, and we're going to, by trading him away, and by the time we kind of hit the stride, I think is the way he put it, hit our stride in a year or two, he's going to be want that third contract and want a big deal, and I don't know that we're going to be ready to commit that way. And it's not dissimilar to what Brian did when he traded away Aaron Rodgers and stripped down the Packers roster and went uber young. And I think we've seen the turn this offseason from we're going to start hitting our stride with this core group. Now, you can debate choices that are made this offseason as far as who they allow to walk, who they choose to extend, etc. But I don't begrudge or think it's bad operating procedure for Sullivan to be point blank honest about this is a new regime. We're going to gather draft capital, and we're going to build our own team and our own program. And I think Malik understands that. I got to suspect, and I understand tampering and all this nonsense, but I got to think conversations were undoubtedly had while they were still in Green Bay, and this was a possibility coming up. Hey, maybe someday if, shooting the shit, maybe over drinks, late, who knows, right? And then when push comes to shove and rubber meets the road, and Sullivan gets the gig, and Halfley's coming down to be his head coach, I suspect they are in complete agreement with how to build the program. And Malik is part of that vision. And now I know Malik's only got a 3-year deal, but if he shows he can play with each set of players that they provide and continues to improve and grow, I think, he is the chance to be the cornerstone there in Miami. And I think that is probably an exciting proposition. That and get paid pretty decent amount of money. But yeah, man, I don't see any issue with that. And I don't think Sullivan was worried about Halfley or Malik balking at it because I think they're on board. They see the vision. Now you got to do the work. Just because you have an idea or a vision of how your program is going to go doesn't mean it automatically happens. But encourage your convictions, jump on in, let's see how they do. I think it's great. I like the confidence and the clarity in what they want to do and how they want to go about it. Brandy Lewis is here. You old so-and-so. How are you, Brandy? Another year, another DC. We got Parsons and X. We start over again defensively. Sounds about right. Brandy, I really appreciate you hopping on here. And for those of you that don't know, Brandy has been a long time contributor, moderator here on the YouTube channel, and game day provocateur when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. Brandy, I meant to say I didn't get a chance to respond to your email because I emailed you because I hadn't seen you in a while. We haven't seen you on Happy Hour. And I was just checking in because we miss you guys on Happy Hour. But your response about the defense and your comparison, but I'm not going to shout it out here. I'll keep it between us. But it was very funny. I laughed out loud. And I appreciate you hopping on the chat. That is it's very good to see you again. What else we got here, folks? Jeff Jones. Is the Packers window the size of those bay windows at Grandpa's lake house, or is the window a bit smaller, like my shanty? Well, Ryan Gutekunst doesn't believe in windows. Although I do believe windows exist whether he believes in them or not. at the moment, it's like a 2-year window. So whatever analogy you want to put that to as far as window size, you go right ahead. But most of it comes down to how Micah Parsons' contract lays out, along with, you know, some touch points on Jordan Love's contract and when they'll probably have to, you know, re-extend him. The next 2 years are going to be very telling, and essentially the window before they have to decide what the new core might look like. And that probably includes head coach and GM. You know, if they're going deep in the playoffs and flirting with the Super Bowl and or winning it, obviously they're going to get, they're here for however long they want to be, essentially, right? Especially given this new commitment from Ed Policy. But if they flame out, say the next 2 years, two seasons in a row, bad endings, not really making any forward progress, 2029 could be an interesting moment in Packers, you know, trajectory, the Packers trajectory. But there's a long way to go in that regard. This next 2 years is very, very, very important for everyone involved. Menace. Menace, you're always thinking on the negative side of things. I need you to look at something positively just once, my brother. Oh God, if Sullivan wins a Super Bowl or even gets to a Super Bowl before Goot does, like Schneider or Wolf, there will legit be riots from Green Bay to Canada. I think you're overstating a little bit. Don't know if that there'll be riots. Although I will say, yeah, Sullivan in particular, like, I don't think it's any big deal that, you know, Elliott and Alonzo and a couple other folks got that path that they got in New England last year to get to the Super Bowl. Schneider's been doing it forever. You know, like, I don't think that's that big a deal. It's great that, you know, they all came up together and stuff like that. But the Sullivan thing, that would be a bit hard to swallow, simply because he is going to a place where he is going to have to start over. They're not in a great position, and he's going to have to build that place from scratch, essentially, right? And if he turns that in with a Packers cast-off coach and quarterback into a Super Bowl title, not just contender, but winner, before Goot and Matt get to and win the Super Bowl with Jordan, whoo, baby, that will be a tough one, no doubt about it. But that said, I don't think there'll be riots. I mean, there'll be more people posting mean stuff on Twitter, which is essentially the same as any other day, right? E4, what's up, man? How about a coach who punches himself for making a bad call? That would be a turn. I mean, LaFleur does a decent job of beating himself up, at least verbally, after games when he talks about calls he'd like back and things of that nature. And he protects his players sometimes when things go poorly and he blames the play call. Like, he's not averse to doing that. And I've always respected that about Matt. What else we got? How about a DC that punches a ticket to the playoffs? There you go. There you go. Neither of those two were castoffs. McCarthy was a castoff. Not sure what you're referring to there. Insert Mike Pettine. We got a Mike Pettine comment in here. Oh boy. Ooh, Jeff Jones. Let's go. This sounds nitpicky. I mean, we're here at the stretch before the draft, so there's nothing going on, so pick away. Is Jordan Love too cool? Too relaxed? I don't think so. Your mileage may vary. I know that I felt that way a bit about Rodgers when he first took over after Brett, because Brett was so fired up and running down the field after a touchdown to tackle his own guy in the end zone, fist pump, all the stuff, right? Rodgers comes along and he's California cool and he did the thing, whatever, but he wasn't really that guy. He wasn't the rah-rah, like, you know, pumped up jock type, right? Well, that nowhere near that what Brett was in that regard, right? So I kind of always thought that about Aaron initially, but man, after a while you just get to see how good he is and how much he improved and what a phenomenal quarterback he was. I don't think you need it, you know. I don't think you can be too cool. In fact, I think it serves him well. I think it allows him to stay even keeled play after play. And when guys have a bad drop or run a wrong route or whatever, it allows him to get back to the next play instantly, you know, and not dwell on it and stew on it. And he's just so even keeled that it's very, very rare. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen him exhibit like some kind of frustration or emotion because his teammate has done something to hang him out to dry or done something wrong or whatever. And that, I got to tell you, man, I think that really resonates with his teammates. And I think they love it. So, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I totally understand that question, but it feels similar to like the difference we saw from Brett to Aaron. Like, Jordan's his own guy and it works for him and it's working for him as he continues to improve as an NFL quarterback. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just think it's part of his superpower and I wouldn't want to take it away from him. Yes, Menace. That is one of the, when I talked about I can count on one hand, this is one of the moments. Speaking of, I had never noticed, but after the read drop in the Chicago game, did you see how animated Love got? I never noticed it until a rewatch 4 months later. You know, it's a good time to rewatch it. Yeah, no, I said it on the watch party. I said that was the most demonstrative I think I've ever seen him after a bad play, a drop, or whatever. And all it, what's funny is it's not that big a thing. Like, they, Fox shows it in slow mo and he's just like that. And that's it. That's as much as I think I've ever seen him even come close to being visually disappointed with his teammate, you know, like, better man than me. I think the first time I ever saw something like that from him was the third start, the first in Lambeau. There was a running back, I think it was Emmanuel Wilson, out to the right. And I think it was a fourth down, I believe. And he throws it to Emmanuel and they were clearly not on the same page. And he made some kind of gesture like, you're supposed to do this or whatever. That's one of the only other times that I can recall him really getting kind of even close to visually, I'm not even going to say like showing up his receiver, his teammate, but yeah, it's a rare thing. And that moment in Chicago, the read drop, especially considering where it was in the game, what it could have meant for a possible kind of winning moment there down at the red zone. It's very notable. It's very notable. But again, those moments are very few and far between. Brandy, we talked about this a couple days ago. Nags, closing out games seems circumstantial. A lot of moving parts. How can one honestly plan for that? There are certainly things you can do to try and shorten the game if you have a lead and things like that. But A, number one for the Packers, given how they've given up these leads late in games, is better play up front on both sides of the ball. I don't want to make it sound like they just need to be better. They got to be able to run the ball and take the, you know, time off the clock and all that. That's a component. But anything and everything you want to do on offense and defense flows through your lines, flows through the line of scrimmage. They have not been nearly consistent enough up front late in games. And I don't know if that's conditioning. I don't know if that's lack of focus. I don't know, but it's notable. They are not closing the games out up front. They do that, they'll cook. You'll see a lot of these close games come start swinging the other way. Let me see what else we got, folks. Don't sit on leads. Well, that's the dream, right? You love this idea. However, I will point out that was exactly the approach LaFleur was taking in Denver. But once again, what threw that off? What was the problem with that play? I know it results in an interception, but Watson's got the all-pro corner beat by a step and a half. Jordan can't step into the throw because Aaron Banks didn't even get beat initially, but gets beat eventually. Like, if he can just hold that block for a tick longer, and Aaron, this is, I'm not saying anything Aaron Banks hasn't said himself. You know, if he can hold that block for a tick longer, Jordan can step into that throw. He hits Watson, and away they go. I mean, Absolutely. Don't sit on leads is a great idea, but you've got to execute. And more than anywhere else, you've got to execute up front. Anything and everything you want to do starts there. That is always the way. All right, folks, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Do not forget to get your copy of the Cheesehead TV draft guide available right now on our Patreon page. There's a link in the description of this video for you to get your copy. You do not have to become a Patreon member, but you will need a Patreon account. Get your Cheesehead TV draft guide today. 2 weeks to go. Study up. Bone up on all these prospects. And just so you know, in case you've never purchased a Cheesehead TV draft guide, it ain't just like prospect breakdowns, although that is a large part of it, obviously, but there are a ton of really well-written, in-depth feature articles covering all sorts of different Packers topics that you are going to want to check out. Some really great stuff. Make sure you do it. Get your copy today. All right, everybody. Got to go. Thanks so much. Please, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. And then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.